Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 568 for Thursday, July the 11th, 1804. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game. And for some reason, shredding documents makes them bigger. I don't understand this. It's like, you take a small box of things to shred, and when you're done, it's gotten big.
Oh, it makes them fluffy. If you have a beanbag that's kind of gone flat, nothing says love like a few dumpsterfuls of documents that Enron has already taken care of for
you. Well, I'm cleaning out my garage, so I've been shredding enough old documents to make somebody think I'm covering up for Enron at the moment. So, it's like when the shredder has that little overheating light come on, it's you know you've been doing it a lot.
And remember, those guys like oil every once in a while. I never knew those blades needed oiling until they caught fire. But, all those little things that you should read in the manual that I always throw away.
Now, I bought that shredder a long time ago. I don't know where the manual is. Somewhere on the internet, I'm sure. But
I'll be careful. You'd be accused of piracy.
For God's sake. Yeah, one of the stories I rejected was on... oh, no, I didn't reject it. It's in the list. Never mind. Yeah, that's right. I was going to reject it if I found something better, and I didn't, because it's just fucking politics, man. Just covering everything right now.
Yep.
So, anyways, I didn't finish the intro. Tonight we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Hola. I've got bourbon. Me and too. Donkey Kong cartoons that I'm eventually going to watch.
Donkey Kong cartoons.
Robotnik is Dr. Phil, but I haven't smoked enough crack to make that assumption yet.
Wait a minute. No, I've misunderstood you. You said Donkey Kong cartoons, and then you said Robotnik is Dr. Phil?
Yes, and Donkey Kong is giving his impression of Joe Rogan.
What?
I'll shoot you a link later on after I've finished watching it, if it's any good.
Okay. We haven't, are you?
Oh, I have no idea what Madman's watching.
I'm very confused.
Donkey Kong cartoons on YouTube. I'm not watching the actual TV show.
I don't remember a Donkey Kong cartoon. I remember Legend of Zelda and a couple of different Mario cartoons. They did some weird thing called Captain N with like really badly drawn versions of a lot of game characters. I don't remember a Donkey Kong cartoon.
Oh, I'll throw you the official Donkey Kong cartoons as well. But this is just kind of making fun of them and Nintendo characters in general, I believe. But yeah,
I'll recommend another
cartoon as well.
Another cartoon, Madman, if you're interested, it's called The Ant and the Aardvark.
Oh, I watched those. They were really old cartoons, kind of like Pink Panther.
Yes, yes.
I love those.
Very political undertones.
Yeah, a lot of those from... Man, those are from the...
Yeah, they come
30s
from the
and up. Uh-huh. 30s through the 70s, and you find jokes in there now that I go back as an adult. I'm like, that... I thought that was a child's cartoon.
No.
And no, that's a cartoon children could... That's why my dad loved watching those with me. Now I understand.
Once again, Fritz the Cat is not a cartoon for children.
Fritz the Cat was never a cartoon for children. No one ever thought that. Anything that director did was not meant for children.
Several parents thought Watership Down was a cartoon for children.
Oh,
my local DVD rental place had it in the children's section labeled for children.
I didn't know bunnies could tear each other apart. Oh, spoiler on a 40-year-old cartoon. Bunnies can tear each other apart.
That's up there with the meme picture of when Bambi 2 was on God, I think it was I don't remember if it was a DVD or VHS, but somebody at Walmart had restocked it into one of the Rambo movie displays. So it's, you know, the title said Rambo or Bambi 2, and then across the marquee at the bottom it said There Will Be Blood. It's just like, damn. It's a great photo. That's an old one though. That's up there with the one from Dollar Store that was floating around where it said toys for girls, and it was all pots and pans. So.
No, nothing says inappropriate for children like the Harry Potter broom that vibrated.
Yeah. Oh, I think we did. Did we do that one on IHN?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Apparently in Texas, people are out of power until like next week.
Yeah. Doesn't shock me, man.
Hurricanes are terrible, horrible things.
Yep. So, anyways, I have no idea what's wrong with the IRC on the website. The whole website needs some work, and I just have not had time. So, I don't know what I want to do. Opened ideas, actually, on what we want to do with G15 and the website. Of course, we want to keep doing decking, but I don't know if anybody's even listening to the music stream anymore. I know we haven't updated the music on there in a long time.
Yeah, and I don't perceive myself updating it anyway. It is what it is. Playlist of a playlist.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we want to do.
I wouldn't even know where to start looking for music like that anymore.
Well, I'm wondering if we...
contacting people and...
Oh, well, I'm wondering if it'd be worth ditching the live stream and just only kicking it on when we're doing a show on it.
Yeah, I don't know. As I said, I'm open for ideas.
So, right now, probably the best thing to do would be to hop on the BBS and send me feedback on that. So, what you guys think? And because IRC is not working, and I don't know what other messaging platforms I put out over the years that I would check. So, the BBS is probably the best one. Anyways, I guess we'll get into this first article that RU sent to me. It's from abcnews.au. Digital detox urged for children who are aggressive and hospitalized when parents pull the plug on devices. So, like, they're actually going to take the kids to the hospital because they're taking their iPad away.
A mental hospital.
Emergency departments are treating distraught children who are off their minds after having their digital devices removed, with doctors urging parents to beware of the risk of addiction. God, that's a name. Corn Esterhuisen, a senior medical officer at Rockhampton for 16 years, now working at Rockhampton Hospital, said digital addiction causes serious anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and ADHD traits in children. Quote, the effect is compared to cocaine and heroin, and that's the effect it has on the brain, unquote, Dr. Esterhuisen said. This is a problem recognized by the World Health Organization in its most recent International Classification of Diseases, released in 2022. Gaming disorder is defined as, quote, impaired control over gaming, unquote, where the prioritization of gaming over other activities is to the extent it takes precedence over daily activities and continues to escalate. Dr. Esterhuisen said the frequency of these incidents in the emergency room has dramatically increased in the past few years. Quote, we are beyond asking the parents, we are pleading with them, get them off the device, unquote, he said. People are taking their kids to the emergency room because they're taking the iPad away and they're getting that worked up about it.
Yep. I've seen it firsthand.
Now, that to me, says the device is not what's addictive, it's the apps. I mean, you know, I mean,
think it's the act of.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the apps.
You don't?
I think it's the act of the machine.
I mean, Facebook employs psychologists to try to make their feed more addictive, for God's sake.
Yeah, no, I think there is an element of that, but I think it's just the actual device. It's the instant gratification, see? is no having to do anything before satisfaction. Like, we think about it. If you're doing Minecraft, it's essentially digital Legos.
Sure.
There's no actual having to set up or pour out the Legos or set a space aside to do the Lego. And then there's the careful finding the block, the exact right block, where in Minecraft you just click a button and you have the right block.
Oh, yeah. So kids who never had the fun of digging through a, you know,
through Lego,
through a 3-foot tote of all the different mixes of Lego kits you've got and the occasional Duplo block mixed in just to piss you off, trying to find the exact right piece to make what you need. Yeah.
Especially if you're playing with others too, because they're looking for the same piece you're looking for. And it becomes a race to see who can get what first. But yeah, there's the X. I'm just using Legos because of Minecraft for instant gratification and building something and having fun in a world where you don't actually have to expand the world in your mind playing Minecraft because the world's already pre-formed for you.
I'm just remembering my sister would wait for me to find pieces and put them in my build. And then when I was done and would walk away to go do something else, she would start picking the pieces she wanted off my stuff. And it's just like, ah!
Yeah, me and my brothers fought like that all the time.
Come back and find whatever it was half disassembled. I'm like, why'd you take my thing apart? Oh, I wanted those pieces.
Yep.
But I was going to use that, you know? It's like, well, I'm using it now.
Well, yeah. And that comes conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. You know, where in Minecraft, you got all the pieces you want no matter what.
And I think a big issue is let children onto electronics way too early. They're being put on electronics at a time where they need to be learning socialization, how to read facial expressions, how to communicate. I mean, we have a generation of people right now where businesses are paying psychologists to teach people to talk on the phone. Because they haven't learned verbal cues. They spend so much time texting and on the tablets and internet doing nonverbal things. They don't know how to have a conversation without seeing someone in the seeing someone face-to-face and then barely able to do that. It's crazy.
The one I remember was, I think it was last year, the video was floating around, where they were showing a bunch of different people on TikTok where they figured out that their facial expressions were lining up with Pixar characters. Like, they knew how to make the you know, they had learned their facial expressions and emotions from, you know, like Pixar instead of other people. So everything was hyper, you know, exaggerated and everything.
Yeah. So I hate saying we should say here's a hard, fast law not to do something because governments fucked that up. But I'm also fine with saying you shouldn't give your child a smartphone or a tablet until they're 6. I see little kids like, here's mommy's phone, play with that while we're shopping. No, while you're shopping, if the baby's fussy, you stop talking for a minute, you stop shopping for a minute, and you talk to the baby. Yep. Or you get the baby involved in shopping. Like, hey, little how many ever month old kid, check this out. This is cheese. We're going to use it to make sandwiches later. And you talk to the kid, you show him what you're buying, and you make a game out of it where you and the kid are involved in the world instead of, here's my phone, get addicted to it.
I don't know, but 6 is old enough, to be honest. I've seen.
Yeah. I can even go with 10.
I've seen, hell, I've seen firsthand people, like, their kids getting real annoying, so they're just, here's my phone, and, you know, just to shut them up.
I didn't have my own gaming system, as in a gaming system in my house, until I was 12. I could see pushing it off that long.
If you can afford it, you can have it. That was my old man's motto.
I am
buying it for you.
I mean, I had gaming systems in the house, but they weren't mine. You know what I mean? They were the family's, and I wasn't allowed to use them unless, you know, somebody was around.
Well, technically, they were the family's. I was the only one that played video games. They were mine.
Oh, shit. The whole family played that Atari.
Yeah.
So.
My mother liked Frogger and Pac-Man, but she also didn't play them very often. My sister didn't get into games.
No, my dad and I tore up that Commodore 64. Mom would occasionally get on it, but I think she was doing, like, other stuff on it, like, you know, one of the early versions of Print Shop, actually on the Commodore, things, stuff like that. But
oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. So, my sister would, you know, was too young, would have probably stuck the power cord in her mouth at the time. So, you know, that was different. But
yeah,
even the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo were family things. I mean, granted, it was mostly my sister and I playing those. But yeah,
we're having a generation of kids that are being handed electronics before they know how to talk.
Yeah.
Well, also, too, you know, you were talking about the social skills and conflict resolution. You know, my sister and I did fight over who got to play Nintendo. That was a thing.
It's conflict resolution.
So, you know, you end up having to take turns. So.
And when there's more than two people there, you ever come up with the rule winner stays, and then it really sucks when that winner doesn't fucking lose?
Yep.
Yep.
They get to spend 4 hours playing video games, and you're getting 15-minute turns.
I know somebody who got very good at subtly yanking a cord when you weren't looking so that your cable would disconnect so you'd finally lose.
Dude, I spent an entire day on Street Fighter. Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeaten.
Who was your character?
It's the... Ken.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was the most easy one to use. I mean, it's the violent outbursts that these kids are going through. That's the worrying thing.
Well, let's get back to it here. Yeah. Central Queensland mother Erin Alcorn said her 13-year-old son's behavior became extremely concerning after he was issued a school laptop. Quote, "He was getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning and using the school laptop to watch YouTube," unquote, Ms. Alcorn said. Quote, "There's nothing worse than having your child fail at school, failing socially, completely withdrawn, and not talking and talking about not wanting to live anymore," unquote. What the fuck were you letting him watch on YouTube?
They're not watching what he's watching, so whatever he wants.
Yeah. No wonder. Shit. The Alcorn family committed to a month-long digital detox aiming to curb their teenager's poor behavior. Quote, "We pulled the plug on the TV and put it in the garage. We disconnected the home internet. We removed all of our devices," unquote, Ms. Alcorn said. Quote, "Once they realized it wasn't coming back, they got enjoyment from quality time, board games at night, and down the track we saw improvements in their schoolwork," unquote. So, they don't say about the reaction there, but they had to full on disconnect the internet in their house to do it, from the sound of things. Rockhampton-based clinical psychologist Helen Madwell said that while children often appear addicted to games and technology, this was not necessarily the case. Quote, "It can look like addiction behavior, but the difference is often they are doing it for pleasure," unquote, Ms. Madwell said. Quote, "Kids are using technology for socializing, music, exploring of interests, and shopping. If parents want to get their kids off devices, they need to bring more of that pleasure into the offline space," unquote. It is a message echoed by American author Brad Huddleston. As the article go on, and no, it doesn't have anything else. It's mostly just about giving advice to parents about, oh, you know, get them more involved in the real world and less reason to turn to the phone.
I could see getting them more involved in the real world, but the whole it's about pleasure, not addiction, I don't guess these guys have ever done anything like alcohol.
Bad man,
any type of drug, because I'll let you know. I may be addicted to alcohol. I'd argue I'm not. But I will tell you, I enjoy the shit out of it.
Really? Because I hate drinking, madman. You know, I get a six-pack of beer in my fridge. I hate beer that much, I'm going to drink it. Just to get rid of it.
So the whole, they're doing it because it's fun, not because they're addictive. No.
No, they're
doing it because they're addicted, and it might be fun, or it might be fun and addictive, but you can't negate the whole addicted thing just by saying it's fun.
Also, it gets really hard to get away from these devices, though, when every fucking thing, you know, you can't even interact with some things anymore unless you have their app. You can't, you know, you've got stores and shit that, you know, you know, like some of these membership shops, oh no, you have to have the digital ID card, and you know it goes on your phone. I mean, are you were complaining about some of this shit?
Yep, and I'm just going to say, they will stop doing it when you stop interacting with it.
Yeah. But it does, it does make it really frustrating to try to, I mean, but still, it is really, I still get, you know, an immense amount of enjoyment of when I was a kid with that Game Boy, I would get in trouble for being the one on the Game Boy where everybody else was talking at, you know, dinner or sitting on the couch or whatever. Now I go home, everybody's got a fucking device in their hand and I'm the only one not, because I kept getting in trouble for it.
Right. Yeah. You know, I learned self-control and discipline, yet you people didn't do shit. Okay.
Yeah. At dinner, no one should be on their phone.
In saying with all the apps and shit, mops, I find it more fun to be creative to get around the digital shit these days and still interact.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It's a pain in the ass, and it makes life a little bit difficult, but the satisfaction that you've done something without having to give them your fucking everything.
Is this a thing down under? I'll go to a drive-thru, and they'll ask if I'm ordering on the app.
I don't know. I don't go to fast food, man.
Okay.
I don't go to drive-thru, let's just say that.
Well,
and I haven't frequented the McDonald's or Burger King in probably 10 years. I wouldn't know.
I needed wiper blades. And I may have told this story already. I'm pretty sure I told it, you know, in the channel. I don't know if I told it on the show. I needed wiper blades a couple weeks ago. So I went into I think it was Advanced Auto Parts. I just, you know, it's on the way somewhere. I just stopped there and I'm like, I'll just get some wiper blades. So I go in there, I get them, get what I need, go up to the desk. The guy asked me for my phone number. I said, I'm not in your system. He goes, well, I need your phone number. I'm like, you need my phone number so I can buy wiper blades? He goes, yeah, I have to check your account and make sure that you don't need any service on your car. I'm like, I'm not in your system. Well, I need your phone number. I'm not going to give you my phone number. I get enough junk as it is on my phone. He goes, do you not have an account with us? No. Okay, well, we'll have to make an account before you can buy anything. I said, okay, I'm leaving. Fuck, he goes, wait. And then he sold it to me without putting me in an account. I'm betting he put me under somebody else's account to do it. Because he was telling me his system won't let you sell anything unless you're in an account. And I said, okay, fine, never mind. And started to walk out the store at the door, and he stopped me and let me buy it.
I've had that. And I just put the shit down on the ground, walk out.
That
I'm going to need an email
address.
That's an
aggressive way of trying to get you to sign up.
Yeah.
Because he's being pushed by corporate to have everyone on an account. I had to go through that shit when I was still in retail. I didn't push it. I didn't have any of the people under me push it because I thought it was fucking annoying. My view is, if you want people to come back, give them good customer service.
It's the same when I buy booze. Every time. Can I see your store card, please? I don't have one. I'm good, thanks. They're like, oh, you should sign up. Gives you a 3% discount or something. I don't care. I'd rather pay you not to fucking have my identity. And it blows their mind.
Last week I went to the grocery store and they were doing some sale on Coke, right? And yeah. I would buy a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper. And the guy goes, oh, you know, if you buy another one, you get two more. And I'm like, I don't want that much Coke. He goes, well, I have to tell you about the sale. You know, you can go get another one and get, you know, two more for the price of the two. I'm like, I don't care. He goes, well, I just, you need to go get three more. I was like, okay, I don't want any more Coke. I'm going to buy the one. And the guy was like, didn't understand. I know he thought he was trying to save me money. I understand that. But it's, I don't want that much Coke in my fridge. You know, you guys know I'm actively trying to work on my weight. I don't want that much fucking Coke in the house.
Exactly.
Yeah, if I have 12, I know I need to ration this. If I have 400, there's a Coke an hour until they're gone.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not that bad, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's basically what it is. It's like, I just don't want that much in the fucking fridge. I don't want it in the house. 12 of them is fine, because, you know, one every day or every other day, great, no problem. But, you know, two or three a day because you've got a ton of them? No. And it's easy to justify when you have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You do have to play mind games with yourself with this shit, and it's fucking hard, and it sucks. But guess what? I don't need the fucking cashier haranguing me to go get four more, you know, 12 packs of Coke. So, anyways. I don't know, dude. Have we beat that story to death yet? You know, parents, just pay attention to what your kids are fucking doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parents, don't let your kids on technology until they're double digits.
At least understand what they're doing with the thing and, you know, make sure they're not watching YouTube videos that, you know, promote suicide, for God's sake.
Oh.
But and it shows honestly, that. Sorry,
go,
man.
Oh, go ahead. I'm going to say. Just,
well.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to say we also need to push this at schools. Having the school issuing you a laptop isn't necessary. If you have an English class, you can have an English book. If you have that teaches grammar and shit, grammar hasn't changed that much over the millennia since the invention of whatever language you're speaking. And if you're studying a specific author, Shakespeare hasn't changed. Buy 32 primers on whatever author your school has decided needs to be in the curriculum and just recycle them from class to class. You don't need to have kids on a computer. Have them interact with their classmates and their teacher. Not helpful.
Well, this is where we say modern schooling isn't about education. It's about consumer training.
I don't even know if they're allowed to teach Shakespeare anymore, are they?
It depends on where you are. Some people still teach him. Some say he's too old and too white. But if you read Macbeth, it is relevant today. Everything in Macbeth is relevant today. And there are penis jokes.
Romeo and Juliet has underage sex and suicide as its main underlying story.
I'd like to point out at the time it wasn't underage.
Yes, I understand. And also life expectancy was 35. But
Macbeth?
I have never been horny in my entire life.
Wrong sound clip.
It's kind of the story of our current political situation in the States. It's great. You have a shrew trying to hold on to power through a dead king.
Yeah.
And then there are penis jokes. I'm never going to get over that when I realize that that's an old English dick joke in the middle of this supposedly classic piece of work. And they're like, oh, classics can have humor in them.
It wasn't a classic at the time. It was a modern piece at the time, man. Yes, it was a modern dick joke for that period. Anyway, next story.
All right. Next story is from Bloomberg. Microsoft orders China staff to use iPhones to work instead of Android.
Why?
Oh, hang on. I'm getting I wasn't getting that before. Okay. I got to find a different version of the story because Bloomberg apparently wants a subscription and that it didn't do that to me when I looked at it before. So, that's annoying. Shit. Hang on. Can't use that.
Man, you were right about that motorcycle movie. That was a good movie. Well, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm going to.
Oh, Bike Riders?
Yeah. That was really well shot. I just used my closer for tonight, though.
How far into it did you get?
About 30 minutes.
Okay.
I'm not that far in.
Okay, we're swapping Bloomberg for Fortune. You all keep talking while I update and send the link.
Yeah, I was 30 minutes in. I was like, wow, this is well shot. Very well shot. Fantastic background scenery. Period bikes looked great. Looks really good. I'm interested to finish it off tonight. Oh, yeah.
And it's a great story of an MC going from an MC to a biker gang.
Yeah, they always fascinated me how they started up after Second World War. They haven't always been outlaw gangs. They used to just be a bunch of dudes who enjoyed bikes.
Enjoyed building bikes or riding bikes, hobbyists.
Yeah.
And you're far enough in that I'm going to point out one problem I had with it, with the decor, the costumes.
Okay. Yeah.
The one dude, if you're within 30 minutes, you can rewatch it. You'll see one of them wearing a 1% patch before anyone should be wearing a 1% patch.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't looking at that super detail, but I'm going to start again anyway from the beginning, and I'll notice that this time. But yeah, 1%ers wouldn't have been a thing. That mainly came about in the 60s, didn't it?
1%? It came after, no, it was a little before the 60s. It was in like the 50s or even the late 40s, but it was after the Motorcycle Safety Foundation came out saying 99% of motorcyclists are just nice guys wanting to go out and cruise on the weekend. You had a bunch of people throwing out 1% patches, but those are people advertising, I'm here to start trouble, get in a fight, and do drugs.
Yeah, I'm an outlaw.
At that point in the history of the club, they were still enthusiasts. None of them were into that yet.
Oh, so it was a way of shit-shaming bad bikers, and bad bikers went, fuck it, we'll take that 1%.
Yeah, it was.
And wear it as a badge.
It is our badge of honor. We are the 1%. It wasn't, we're the free guys. That's every biker is pushing for the open road and just cruising and being free from society. It was, we are the assholes you do not mess with.
All right, I've been ready for a while now.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
So, Microsoft will require its employees in China to use only iPhones due to their enhanced security features. The move comes as Microsoft undertakes a major cybersecurity overhaul. The project, internally known as Secure Future Initiative, comes after Microsoft faced scrutiny for its subpar security practices. Microsoft's new policy, which will go into effect in September, means that employees in China will only be allowed to use iPhones for work, as first reported by Bloomberg. The new rule is meant to effectively limit the number of Android phones used by Microsoft's Chinese employees. Microsoft will begin requiring employees to verify their identities, use two-factor authentication with logging into work phones. Okay, one, Android phones can do that. And two, you haven't been doing that already? What the fuck?
And if you're requiring what type of phone I use, you better be providing me with the phone.
Yeah, Microsoft had to ask its employees to use only iPhones for work because certain security apps like Microsoft Authenticator and Identity Pass apps weren't available on other operating systems in China. That's weird because I know for a fact both of those exist on Android. That shouldn't be a problem. In the U.S.
No, they said in China, so I'm wondering if China's blocking those specifically on non-iPhones.
Well, that's what I'm wondering too, but that's weird because it's like I know those apps exist on iPhone or on Android because I've had to support them. So it's like, I know that's a thing. I don't understand why they would be blocked in China. In the U.S. and other countries, those two apps are also available on Google Play, but Google Play doesn't operate in China, which means Microsoft's employees could only get the relevant security apps on an Apple phone. Oh, I guess I could, read the whole article instead of skimming. Okay, so yeah, Google Play is blocked in China. That's why they can't get it. It could be siloed onto Android apps. They just don't want to support it. That's what's going on. Quote, due to the lack of availability of Google mobile services in the region, we look to offer employees a means of accessing these required apps, such as an iPhone or iOS device. Microsoft spokesperson told The Fortune in an email. Employees in China who don't have an iPhone will be given one by Microsoft, according to Bloomberg. So there you go, Madman. They're going to give them phones. Chinese Android phones made by companies like Huawei and Xiaomi operate their own platforms. Microsoft banning of Chinese smartphones is emblematic of diverging digital ecosystems between China and the U.S., where the two governments and the major corporations that work with them have become increasingly wary of allowing the other access to sensitive materials. I'm going to stop right here for just a second and diverge. If you look into the history of the CCP and, the communist rise to power in China, that's kind of our fault. I don't know if people know that or not.
Yeah, we didn't back the side that was our ally.
Apparently we had a treaty with the Republic of China and decided fuck it, which is actually part of what started McCarthyism, which is fun. So, because people started looking at the State Department going, why did we do that?
Yeah, and it's because we had a lot of commies running our State Department at the time.
So, is this, I mean, I'm just looking at some of this and then, you know, after rereading some of this history lately, I'm just like, huh, how much of this is a problem of our own making?
Oh, a shit ton of what happened in Asia is a problem of our...
99% of all problems that we have in our Western countries right now is caused by our own fucking...
Yeah.
Our own people. And betrayal from the inside and retarded ideas that, well, I just didn't see that coming, you know.
It's like, do you not know what communism is? I mean, you do realize...
I don't know, France is going to give it another go.
Yeah, because that worked so well for him the first time around before Napoleon. I mean, how many people died by guillotine?
I mean, Spain's, you know, they're fucking around with it now again. Be interesting to see if Italy messes with it. I mean...
You do realize when a communist party comes in, it's usually thugs who just want to enslave everybody else, right? I mean, they're not going to implement the precepts that Marx wrote about. They're just going to promise a bunch of shit and then set up a dictatorial government. You do realize that, right?
This is the fun part, because the communists win. Everything goes fucking ass over tit. Laws don't really matter anymore. And then the anarchists kill the communists. That's generally, and then the anarchists become the communists. Yeah, but
it takes for fucking ever for the anarchists
it to get... It does, and we all starve to death at the end.
I would like to point out, at no point in history have the anarchists ever thrown out the communists.
No, it's the communists
generally,
run out of money.
They join with the communists to overthrow whatever government, and then the communists kill the anarchists.
And then the communist government eventually runs out of resources and collapses, yes. I mean, that's...
We're heading that way. We're running out of resources. We can't give it away quick enough at this point.
I'm just thinking all this shit between us and China, and, you know, when I was looking into it, it's like, you know, I kind of knew that the CCP took over right after World War II, but I didn't really, like, think about it that much.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, we did that.
And if you look, the reason we're still defending Taiwan is... The government that we were backing in China, our ally?
Yeah, that's Taiwan.
That's Taiwan. The actual government itself relocated to the island of Taiwan thinking we were going to get them some backup and eventually push back into the mainland, and we still haven't done it.
They're still waiting, yeah.
They're still waiting.
So, that's just...
Hell, we've still got part two of the Korean problem to fix yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, all because we didn't listen to Douglas MacArthur and said we should move our troops from Japan over to the Chinese mainland and fix the problem.
I mean, our troops were... the Chinese people loved us at the time, so it's like, yeah.
Yeah, we just stopped the raping of Nanking.
He leave Don King out of this.
Sorry, I got distracted there, but I'm just seeing this bullshit between us and China, and it's just like, fuck, this shouldn't even have happened.
It didn't need to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, China has its own search engines and social media platforms. US giants like Facebook are banned. Its internet censors are legendary for their breadth and strictness. Meanwhile, in the US, the White House has limited exports of the most sophisticated semiconductor technology to Chinese companies. And Congress passed a bill that would force the sale of Chinese-owned TikTok to an American buyer over concerns the social media platform could be used to influence public opinion. Well, we know it's doing that.
And I don't believe it stated it had to be an American buyer. They just had China just had to divest from it.
Yeah. Cybersecurity became a top priority for Microsoft after it was found its cloud systems were breached by state-backed Chinese hackers last year. The cyber attack came ahead of Secretary of State Anthony Blinken's visit to Beijing in June of 2023, further exacerbating tensions between the U.S. and China. The hack raised major red flags about Microsoft's security practices. In April, a federal agency released a scathing report that found Microsoft's security culture was inadequate. That's putting it mildly. In March, a U.S. federal court charged a group of Chinese hackers for a separate set of cyber attacks that took place in 2018. The Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. said the charges were baseless, quote, without evidence. The U.S. jumped into an unwarranted conclusion that made groundless accusations against China, unquote. Le Pingui, P-E-N-G-Y-U, Pingu? I don't know how to... I'm sorry, I had an American education. The spokesperson for the embassy said at the time, which of course they did, as the relationship between the U.S. and China becomes more fraught, both sides have tried to firewall the other cyber capabilities. Since 2023, Chinese government-backed companies have ordered employees to stop using foreign smartphones from manufacturers like Apple and Samsung. Meanwhile, China has attempted to surveil parts of the U.S. with its own certificate methods. Early last year, China sent several spy balloons into the U.S., so they do that all the time. Even electric vehicles and connected cars have been caught in the crosshairs, seen as a covert way to surveil Americans. The Biden administration is weighing a ban on all Chinese smart cars after a national security investigation found they collect data on passengers and use external sensors to gather information on U.S. infrastructure. Recent Fortune investigation found China's self-driving cars have already traveled 1.8 million miles on American roads. Those tensions have only grown after a report published on Tuesday by Australian-led consortium of intelligence agencies, including those in the U.S., U.K., Japan, and Germany, detailed cyber attacks from China's top spy agency. Well, all the spy agencies are doing cyber attacks, so it's not that we should... I mean, we're all doing it, so that's...
Yeah.
That's not my problem. My problem is, well, not a fan of communism, as we just discussed, but it's the whole the Chinese Communist Party trying to rule the world thing. I'm not a fan.
Anyone notice one major problem with the Microsoft and China's approach to their security? Like, they're saying they want two-factor authentication to keep the Chinese government out. But this is Microsoft in China.
Which means the government could just walk in and order their way in. Yeah,
the government's already there. They're literally already in the building. You have to have a representative of the CCP in any major corporation.
They have the screen mask. They're calling from inside the house.
Yeah. They're literally, you're saying, we're going to have this two-factor authentication to keep the dude in cubicle B from looking at our shit when he's got his own login. Literally from his desk in your company that he has to have. He can already log in and look at your shit. I just wanted to point that out on how hilarious I found it.
Well, that's part of the problem with all these cloud services. People don't understand what they've given up. It used to be that your company would host its own email and... You know, if your company got raided, well, that was one thing, but you usually didn't have to worry too much about international hosting and, you know, foreign governments being able to access your shit unless somebody broke in through your, you know, through the security, which of course happens, but it wasn't, you know, you had all these different companies that you had to, you know, there were a plethora of targets. Now there's like three for email. You know, it used to be every company was its own target. Now it's Google, Microsoft, and Zoho. It's just like, well, there's a handful of others in that game, but those are the ones that come to mind for me. Is, you know, Google and Microsoft are the biggest, and then Zoho, Salesforce, and what's the other one? There's another one that comes to mind, and I'm blanking on it, so I guess it doesn't come to mind.
When it comes to outsourcing data, Amazon.
Yeah, well, Amazon doesn't really. I mean, you can host email in Amazon, but it's not a direct email service. But they do have the SNS thing. Proton. Proton Mail got big. That's the other one I was thinking of. But they're actually privacy focused, which is interesting. So
you have to pay for Proton, though, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
But if you're not paying for it, then you're not. You are the you're the product. If yeah. you're not paying for it.
Next article.
Next article.
Next article is from Torrent Freak. Cloudflare blocks pirate sites after Web Sheriff filed laundry list of violations. Anti-piracy company Web Sheriff was once known for its off-the-wall approach to tackling infringement, presumably as part of its strategy to get noticed in the market. The company has since matured into an all-round brand protection service. Still, a pair of copyright claims set to Cloudflare recently are so ridiculously over the top it's hard to take them seriously. Unexpectedly, Cloudflare responded by blocking URLs on two pirate sites, leading to the rarely seen 451 error. Yeah, anyways, let me scroll down in the article here. Yeah, it was Smashy Stream and Movie Lair. So they're actually going to Cloudflare now, and they're getting error, HTTP error 451, unavailable for legal reasons. So, like, that's an error message that, like, nobody ever uses. There's a whole bunch of HTTP error codes that nobody ever uses, and it's kind of weird to see that one. But it is interesting that, you know, a lot of people run their websites through Akamai and Cloudflare because they're the biggest CDNs, and it's useful from a business perspective to do that because you're less likely to get DDoSed and not have your servers knocked down, especially for your static content. But by doing that, you're creating single point of failure for your website, right? And so sending the DMCAs to Cloudflare as opposed to the website itself or the web host is kind of interesting. But apparently that's working right now, which I find very interesting that Cloudflare is responding to these complaints. They're I'm sure they've got a lawyer telling them they have to, but I just find that very interesting that Cloudflare is like, oh, okay, we have to respond to these complaints, so they're actually blocking URLs. Now, granted, Smashy Stream and Movie Lair aren't exactly, they're not even trying to hide what they're doing, right? So maybe that's part of it. But, I mean, they're like Pirate Bay, you know, they don't fucking care. But I don't know, I just think that's interesting, but you know, that's the thing with when you start creating more and more layers is you create more and more places for something to go wrong from a, you know, application standpoint. And so going through a CDN, which makes a lot of sense from security and DDoS protections, also means that CDN can control what happens to the content. And Cloudflare doing the free thing with Cloudflare for a while was a really big deal for websites. I never did it. For a very specific reason. This.
Yep.
And I'm not even running a piracy website. I'm running a silly small website for us to yell at the internet that's not YouTube, because I don't want to be subject to their rules either. So, anyways.
Teeny tiny fish in an ever shrinking pond.
Anyways, let's do the notepad story and then we'll wrap. Just looking at the clock, we managed to stretch these four stories out pretty good, so that's fun. This one's from the Register. As text editors go, Microsoft's Notepad has never been big on creature comforts, but after more than 41 years, good God, I didn't realize Notepad was that old, Redmond has finally seen fit to bestow its humblest of utilities with spell check and autocorrect.
In things no one asked for.
Missing the point of what Notepad was supposed to be. The feature, exactly. Live in at least version 11.245 or 2405.13.0 or later, appears to be rolling out to Windows 11 users now. After some testing in March, it works exactly how you imagine. Misspelled words are either corrected automatically or underlined with a squiggly red line. Right-clicking on the highlighted misspelled word and selecting spelling from the context menu will offer a number of potential spellings as well as the option to ignore it or add it to your dictionary. Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be a global spell check dialogue to check the entire document, so you still have to click through each instance of the misspelling to correct it. The inclusion of using basic spell checking functionality comes more than four decades after Microsoft launched the Minimalist Editor. Introduced in early 1983 as Multi-Tool Notepad, the mouse-based text editor kept it simple. Rather than attempting to be a word processor, it's an integral part of Windows ever since. Spell check and autocorrect aren't the only new features to grace Notepad lately. In 2021, the app added support for dark mode, and last year tabs were added to make juggling multiple files easier. More recently, the editor became the latest Windows utility to get an AI PC makeover, or at least in testing. The feature, spotted in the insider build of Windows, added a pop-up menu titled Co-Writer, which presumably ties into Microsoft Copilot to tweak a text file to fit a certain style, formatting, or tone. Functionality hasn't made an appearance in mainstream Windows, though the launch of Microsoft's first batch of Copilot Plus PCs last month, we don't expect it to be long before it does. For purists who prefer a notepad that didn't flag misspelling or autocorrect in your keystrokes, the features can be tweaked in settings or limited to specific file types such as Markdown or text documents. In any case, the update couldn't come at a better time now that it's a more feature-rich sibling WordPad is officially on the way out, having already disappeared from the Windows Canary channel builds as far back as January. You guys have completely missed the point of what Notepad was supposed to be.
Yep.
And if I want those other options, isn't that what Word was?
That's what WordPad was.
Isn't that what Word was meant to be?
Well, Word eventually turned into a full-on document editor. WordPad was Notepad with spell check and a few other features tacked on it.
Yeah, they already had something. Why fuck with something that's nobody asked for?
And yes, you could go download Vim or Notepad++ or God knows how many other basic text editors out there, but the whole point of Notepad was just a flat text editor that didn't fuck with your files. Well, with the possible exception of saving the wrong type of line endings, but that only comes up if you're messing with Linux hosts or something. I mean, for God's sake, I was writing web pages in Notepad for however long ago, and that, I don't want it highlighting, oh, you've misspelled this. It's like, no, that's an HTML tag. Leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or autocorrect on that kind of shit.
And my naming conventions for different files and stuff and what's in that document is not exactly spelt correctly.
Yeah.
For reasons.
Well, I mean, again, if you're editing like a config file or something, there's going to be stuff in there that doesn't spell correctly because it's not in English words. It's configuration directives for a program. You know, it's going to be weird shortcuts. It's going to be shorthand. It's going to be, you know, config flags. The last thing I need is Notepad auto-correcting stuff as I'm typing it when I'm trying to set up a fucking host or a file or a service or something. Or edit an INI file. It's like Notepad was not supposed to be, you know, a document editor. It was a raw text editor. And if you don't understand the difference, document editors are when you're going to write something and you want to keep it in English. A text editor is for editing any file that's stored in ASCII text, and that can be a lot of things that aren't technically English. Configuration files being the easiest example, or a bat
things
file.
That aren't technically human language, they're computer code and language.
Or PowerShell, for God's sake. I mean, so yeah, keep Windows to a minimum, only use it where you have to, learn Linux, because Microsoft is not going to stop in making it more and more of a appliance operating system so that they can sell you Office 365. And, you know, I mean, Microsoft is looking at what's going on the mobile platforms and just hardcore envy. I'm sure that's a huge driver of what's going on.
Me too. I want that.
Well, they're looking at Google's business and going, we should be able to do that. And with Office 365, arguably they're succeeding, although I don't think they even call it that anymore. I think it's Microsoft 365 now. And then
they're also looking at the markets. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it because I do like my PC. PC's not dominant on the internet anymore.
I have a lot of family who don't even own a laptop or a PC anymore. They have a tablet, Android or iPhone or iOS, but they have a tablet. They have their phone. And if they want to play games, they have like an Xbox. And they're happy. They don't need anything else. So It's not that you don't have a point, Madman.
Yeah, Microsoft is pushing like computers are going out. We're trying to get into the other markets. And it sucks when you're niche until a company comes out saying, oh, there's a niche market that I think is being underserved. Let's serve it. Somebody might come out and like, oh, let's serve PCs.
So we'll quickly, I mean, I don't disagree. I don't know. Are you have anything on that?
No, I don't really.
Well, I would like to say Linux is going to be that service, but video games and others need to get on board with that for that to work.
Well, Steam Deck helps with that a lot, but you know, all the copycats that run a Windows don't. But I don't know. Windows still kind of has the gaming market by the balls, so I don't know what's going to happen long term. I mean, I say the gaming market, I mean the AAA gaming market.
And I think Microsoft is trying to push them like, guys, we're making PC suck. Just move everything to Xbox.
Yeah, I think they kind of are. And then everybody's looking at it going, well, yeah, but PlayStation's better. We're going to put our game over there. So
then you still have the problem of four people. Why are you limiting it to four damn people?
What I have for tonight in Digital Dojo is really cool. Scrapbox.io/Cyberdeck. It's literally a gallery collection of different custom-built Cyberdecks. They're collected from the subreddit, various other websites. Some of these are really cool looking. So this is just a great time sink to scroll through and look at what some other people have built. And I find it interesting and amusing. So throwing that out there for our dojo tonight. And yeah, just really cool pictures of some interesting looking machines. But that's all I have for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream while I was working on it. And again, suggestions on the BBS and what people want to see happen with G15, because I haven't had a lot of time to go in and maintain it, and I really need to. So yeah, open to suggestions. Peer decking every Thursday as best we can, with the exception of holidays landing on it. That tends to kill it. Galaxy 15 radio site and the BBS. Are you closing thoughts?
See previous conversation with Madman when you went fishing for a story.
And Madman, closing thoughts.
You're finally off of YouTube, or whoever was posting your videos have stopped doing it so long ago that it's buried under millions and millions of other decking videos that are actually about building decks. And by decks, I mean the structures next to a house.
Well, you know, if you're looking for that, you probably want good instructions, because there'd be nothing worse than walking out your back door, sitting down to relax with a beer, and falling through the deck. So, anyways, I think it's sound effect time.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
God hates Australia.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.